Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Welcome to the Customer Experience Optimization Show. This is the Customer Experience Strategy Conversation with Ingrid Lindberg and Lynn Hunsaker. Ingrid is the founder of ChiefCustomerOfficer.com, and Lynn Hunsaker is the founder of ClearActionCX.com. I'm Lynn, and hello, Ingrid.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for having me. Always good to get to chat about our favorite topic, right?
You bet. Well, I want to introduce us just briefly. Ingrid got her start in the late 90s as an experience design leader and moved on to member engagement strategy, chief marketing officer, chief customer officer, a lot of experience in the financial and healthcare field. Is that right, Ingrid?
That is. I started in retail and packaged goods, then got grabbed and roped into finance and joined healthcare, gosh, early 2000s, late 90s, and for some reason, I just wasn't able to leave. They needed a lot of help, so I kept coming back.
Well, awesome. I got my start in customer experience field in 1991 when I was asked to lead a multi-division and multi-country task force to develop a customer satisfaction methodology. And by and large, the stuff that we were doing in the 1990s has not changed that much in these times, except for the addition of so much technology. But generally, what we were doing then is quite similar, even though we're giving it the label of customer experience. My background, juxtaposed with Ingrid's, is I've worked primarily in business-to-business, and Ingrid works primarily in business-to-consumer. So we find a lot of parallels, though, in what we think about things, don't we, Ingrid?
You know, I definitely think so. You and I have become friends over the years, just being in all sorts of the same places, Lynn. And Lynn's always the sitting authority on anything business to business. And I don't know if I'm the authority on anything business to consumer, but I definitely have tons of experience in it. So love sharing what we've learned with the broader population as customer experience becomes more and more prevalent, I think, across all industries.
You bet. Well, I'm very keen about our topic today. It's customer experience strategy. And I think that there are so many misnomers about what customer experience strategy is. If you ask anybody what their strategy is, they'll probably be able to tell you something. But there could be different interpretations of whether that is actually a strategy or a tactic or a program or an overall approach. So how do you define customer experience strategy, Ingrid?
So, Lynn, I've actually really learned a lot over the last decade, about the fact that customer experience strategy is really so much more than what you're doing from a process reengineering or from a let's redefine all of our products or let's just go after this specific journey map. And when I think about customer experience strategy, it really is the culmination of what do you want your company to look like when your customers interact with it. And I usually bring things out like guiding principles and some very specific pieces and artifacts that help us to be able to define that strategy. And for me, that strategy is always twofold. It's not just the business piece, right? It's not just here are all the things we need to change in our business in order to be able to become more customer-centric. There's a really strong component that's about the cultural transformation that a company really has to harness that power of their employee population in order to make good on these new promises to their customers. So for me, a customer experience strategy really is that umbrella that sits over all of your customer experience activities and really acts as your guidepost for the organization about what are you going to do, what are you going to build, does it match that strategy or not, and if it doesn't, I'm a big fan of let's walk away from it. How about you, Lynn? I know you spent years working on strategy as well.
I do. I write about customer experience strategy quite often, and I've learned a lot in recent times from colleagues too. I did a study back in 2010 to 2013, 4 years, looking at practices of business-to-business customer experience managers. And what we asked was, does your company treat customer experience strategy as a subset of corporate strategy, as unrelated to corporate strategy or as a contributor to corporate strategy, determinant of it. And it was very interesting to see the results. I think the first two answers were kind of evenly divided. Sometimes they didn't even view it as related to corporate strategy. But the smaller number of people who said that they viewed customer experience strategy as a determinant of corporate strategy happened to have stronger business results, by and large, relative to the larger group that didn't. So that spoke volumes to me. What do you think about customer experience information or data insights being a determinant of corporate strategy, Ingrid?
So I have always approached customer experience as one of the pillars of corporate strategy. I've worked with firms who really believe that their customer experience strategy is the only strategy that they need, and I've seen some success there. But the firms that I've seen the broadest level of success, whether it be stock price, whether it be long-term loyalty, lots of different key performance indicators we can look at, the companies that I've seen, at least in my experience, be most successful is when that customer experience strategy is a component of your overarching business strategy. What I find so surprising, and this is one of my absolute favorite things to uncover when I'm out working with people, is I'll stumble across someone who's really been just working so hard and doing everything that they can to change a company. And you sit down with them and you say, okay, do you have your customer experience strategy? Yep, I do. This is what I'm trying to do. And, you know, some cases it's pretty well documented and they have some pretty, you know, pretty decent goals sitting out there. And my next question is, well, what's your corporate strategy? And what I've seen time and time again, and Lynn, I'm curious as to how often you run into this, if at all, is there'll be a corporate strategy that doesn't mention customer anywhere. And these teams just are so astounded, you know, about why they're so frustrated. And I keep reminding them, if you're not a part of that overarching corporate strategy, your customer experience strategy probably isn't going to get very far. So I think it ends up being a really symbiotic relationship where the customer experience strategy should be informing the corporate strategy. But at the end of the day, the corporate strategy is how a lot of financial decisions are made, what you report out to the street or the board. So you have to figure out a way to tie into that.
Well, I'd like to zero in on something you said earlier, and that was how do we map up with our brand promise. And I think there's a heck of a lot right there. Your brand is communicating some kinds of expectations to customers, and essentially what keeps customers coming back to you is that you met their expectations. What keeps customers from coming back to you is that their expectations were shattered or were deflated. So I think that making your brand promise come to life in whatever the company is doing is a huge part of informing the corporate strategy, as you mentioned, Ingrid.
For sure, Lynn. And I think that in so many cases, at least one of the things that I keep seeing is you'll have a brand promise, and then you'll have a corporate strategy, and then you'll have a mission statement, and then you'll have a customer experience strategy, and never the four shall meet. And you really wonder, you know, one of us has to do some work doing some analysis on how unengaged those employees are. because what I found just through, you know, years of doing this is if those pieces don't hang together, and I've actually been writing a series recently on how to build this customer experience strategy, right? And it's understand corporate strategy. Understand your DNA as a company, right? Who are you? What's your brand? There's all sorts of pieces that I think that you can't just listen to what your customers want. And I feel like that's such a sacrilegious thing to say when I'm talking to customer experience professionals. But there's a lot more to it as far as setting up a strategy that's going to be a long-term win, have long-term returns, and actually be embraced by the entire company from your CSRs to your C-suite. So it's so often that we see these things not actually talking to each other and not hanging, right? Not hanging, which I think just gets really confusing for your employee population at the end of the day.
Well, absolutely. When you think about what the company could do without, you could probably come up with a list of some things that could be sacrificed, but customers are not one of those things.
One would hope.
customers is really the whole reason why the company's there. I mean, maybe a company has a great passion for the technology that they, you know, their scientists and their founder developed, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's all for the purpose of helping customers get something done in their business or their lives. And that's why customers will pay you for that, and that's why you have an organization so that you can, you know, be funded to do those great things in the world.
You know, so, Lynn, I have to pause for a second because this is so funny. I think you'll appreciate this. One would think that that would just make sense to everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a company without customers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my absolute favorite stories, I was working with a CFO, and he looked at me and he said, "Well, Ingrid, no money, no mission." And I looked at him after just kind of having a momentary heart attack, and I said, "Okay, let's decouple this a little bit. If you have no customers, you have no cash. If you have no cash, you have no need to count. If you have no need to count, there's really no need for a CFO."
Well, I love that.
And it was so true, right? I think that some people just get so far removed from the fact that at the end of the day, if you don't pay attention and build strategies around how to keep, how to attract, how to really have those customers embrace you as a, you know, a relationship in their lives, then you probably aren't going to be there in the long run.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I learned some really important things from one of my colleagues, Carol Borghese. She was the customer's first vice president at TELUS, a telecommunications company in Canada. And she suggested that one of the best ways to get started in understanding what the heck's going on with the strategy and the voice of the customer and all that stuff is do an intersection analysis of employee comments about what they're empowered to do with regard to customers. And normally people will go into the employee survey and just look at stuff to do about the customer questions. But no, you can look at the broader comments from employees and learn a heck of a lot about what's standing in their way or helping them to do what's right for customers. And then the intersection would be with employee survey data, customer survey comments, and operational metrics. And that way you can really zero in quickly on what the ailments are of standing in the way of customer experience strategy that would be successful and what the kind of things that you can build from are.
So that's super interesting. I usually find that intersection a little bit later. I talk about that as finding your holes. So one of the approaches that I've just really refined over the last several years is I have a pretty clear five-step plan on how I start to build that customer experience strategy. And, you know, Lynn, you and I have talked about this one before. I don't think that you build it once and walk away. I think that it's something that's always evolving, always changing, always becoming stronger as you learn more. But when I'm just starting, right, to answer that question of how do you actually start? Because I think that so many people that I talk to at our customer experience conferences and out on Twitter will be like, "Oh my gosh, I'm trying to convince my leadership team that we have to do the work to create the strategy." So the steps that I take are, number one, you really do have to understand your corporate strategy. We talked about that already, so we'll leave that alone. Number two, you have to spend the time to understand who you are as a company. There are a ton of examples out there of firms that created great big new customer experience strategies that strayed so far away from their DNA that they ended up just being a horrible, horrible flop. And I think one of the best examples that we talked about maybe 2 years ago and then everybody kind of shied away from was what happened to JCPenney. And it was just such a drastic change to try to go to this hip young brand of JCP after being JCPenney for so many years. But really understanding who you are as a company. The third piece that I always really focus on is what do your customers want? So at the end of the day, that's a part of your strategy. It's not your entire strategy, but it is part of your strategy. And then if I can find the intersection between those three pieces, corporate strategy, who you are as a company, and what your customers want, that's where I really start to build out the deep, in-depth work on what our customer experience strategy will be. And after that, I do some work around mission statement, get the CEO buy-in and the rest of our executive team who've hopefully been building it with me along the way, and off we go to actually start making some change. So you talked about what Carol does, Lynn. What else have you found that works?
Well, yes. What customers want is kind of tricky because a lot of people get wrapped around the axle on that. And I think that that's part of the reason why there is some resistance to making customer experience strategy front and center or a determinant of corporate strategy. I think a better way of phrasing it or looking at it is, what are your customers trying to get done? What are their objectives? What's their ultimate aim in using the solution that you provide? And when you look at that kind of more noble goal of why you're existing, that can open up all kinds of channels as far as new thinking in the company, thinking about what we should be creating, how we should be creating it, how do we enable our customers to be successful in the things that they're trying to do. And it minimizes the kind of negativity around, well, but everyone wants everything for free and they want it, you know, yesterday and that kind of stuff. But it's not that kind of what customers want, because at the end of the day, customers are more reasonable than we give them credit for. But the problem is that we aren't really focused on what customers are ultimately trying to get done. We're too focused on our product or our service per se.
Well, and I love the what are they trying to get done, right? So what do they want from you? What are they trying to get done? What is their goal? There's all sorts of pieces around that, and I think all of them are just so incredibly important. Love that, though, Lynn.
Well, now one of the things that people get confused about on customer experience strategy is, well, if they have a digital strategy, is that a customer experience strategy in and of itself? Or if they have a VOC program or a loyalty program or a CRM, or, you know, is any one of those in and of themselves a customer experience strategy, or is there something more to it?
I love that question. And I was seeing someone was having that debate a little bit out on Twitter today, and we started talking about whether all of those pieces are the laces or are they, you know, the building blocks. And I always go back to, if you don't have a clear picture of what you're trying to accomplish, and to me, that's what a strategy brings, whether it's a customer experience strategy, whether it's a digital strategy, whether it's a voice of customer strategy, before you start doing any work, I really do honestly believe that you need to have a clear visualization of what your goal is. What are you trying to accomplish? And in most cases, that's what a strategy document helps you to do. It helps you to articulate what that goal is after you've done all of your deep thinking and all of your voice of customer analysis or whatever it may be. And I do find that in so many cases, you'll walk into a company that's been doing tons of great work, right? They could have done a ton of journey maps, and they might have a great voice of customer program. But when I ask, what is your strategy? What is your goal? What are you trying to do? If their answer is delight the customer, my answer is, wow, we've got to back up big time and actually draft a strategy that shows clearly what that means so that we can tell our employees how they can help get us there. And I think that in so many cases, it's I did the check, you know, I'm checking the boxes, right? I've got my VOC program, I've got my digital strategy, but without having that overarching picture, I think that teams really just end up flailing. Lynn, what's your opinion?
Well, yeah, I mean, it really spoke volumes to me when I was doing some analysis of that four-year study that I mentioned earlier. Things that people had done, you know, a lot of work in didn't necessarily map up to other areas that would go hand in hand, you know, like the let the other shoe drop. And people I've talked to have often said, well, we have a tremendous amount of data from our customers. We have a pretty mature voice of the customer program. Well, I asked them, well, what is it that you do with all that data? Who acts on it? Well, you know, we don't really have that fully thought out, or we'd like to see it acted upon more. We can't figure out how to do that. Well, then, you know, how do you get back to customers about what they said to you and what you've done to act upon it, or, you know, to make an improvement on their advice? Well, you know, we do that kind of individually when we're talking to customers one-on-one, but are we supposed to do it in the large sense? So what I came up with in that whole thing is let's diagram these components so that you can see the flow. And to me, the end game is that you have a metric like retention and loyalty and, you know, business growth. Those are the end game. And I think that a lot of times what we try to do in customer experience management is just kind of force those metrics to happen. Let's do a retention program or a loyalty program that makes it happen. But in actuality, there's a stream of things that lead up to it. If you take customer experience strategy and culture, customer-centered culture, meaning the thinking and the way that people make decisions as like the foundation of this flow. And the flow in this diagram starts with an arrow at the left-hand side, which is the voice of the customer. The voice of the customer informs your culture and informs your strategy like we talked about. And then it leads into customer intelligence. So you've got to make sense of the data, not just report here's what the survey said, but tie it into operational metrics, tie it into other sources of customer inputs, and paint a full picture that helps to prioritize the efforts. And another help in prioritizing the efforts is the next piece of the puzzle to the right. You've got your customer lifetime value. Now when people can see clearly what that picture is and how the prioritization plays out, the next piece in the puzzle going from left to right is customer experience improvement. You've got to make improvements based on what customers are saying. You can't just jump onto all of the innovative ideas that you think would be a new revenue stream or something really sexy. You actually have to like earn trust by acting on things that customers know they've told you and that you know are a pain in their side. So you do improvements and innovation, and you're engaging your employees according to all of that that insight and prioritization and the effort that's defined there. I think that there's a mirror image of how you need to engage your employees to how you want to engage your customers. And so often a company will jump first into the customer engagement and leave off the employee engagement till later. But anyhow, you can't really expect your customers to be more engaged than your employees whose livelihood depends on the customers. And by following that whole chain of elements in the customer experience strategy, you will see those results. But if you leave out one of these pieces, you're not going to see as high of results at the end, the loyalty, retention, and business growth that we mentioned as the ultimate aim of your customer experience strategy. So to me, you've got to have that whole process or flowing diagram figured out in order to say, yes, we have a customer experience strategy. What's your take, Ingrid?
You know, I think that regardless of how you approach it, I love that you've got the here's how it builds. I talk a lot about funnels. Because I don't think it's very linear, and I don't think it's even cyclical, right? I think that it's a great big hurricane in a lot of cases, to be very honest. But I think that what we're just articulating, regardless of approach, is that this is a really big deal, right? At the end of the day, this is a lot of work, and it's a really big deal. And I think, you know, it's one of those things where you can build it, which is a huge investment and a huge amount of time if you do it right. But, you know, one of the last questions we talked about doing today, Lynn, was that whole how do you bring it to life? And I think that there's lots of different ways to take all of this work that gets done that in so many cases ends up as a really beautiful poster on somebody's office wall but never really comes to life and bring it to life. So I would love you to start and talk a little bit for us about how do you bring it to life. That's always fun to hear.
Well, my favorite way is to wallpaper the employee's world with customer insights and customers' realities and informing them about all of those things that I just mentioned, but primarily making the customer's expectations pertinent to their role, whatever their role may be. So if you have, you know, an intranet and you're sharing a customer story, maybe put some bullet points at the end of it and say, what does this mean for engineers? What does it mean for manufacturing? What does it mean for service and sales and marketing and IT and finance and HR? If you start thinking in terms of how is this supposed to play out for every single functional area, and you force yourself to just get into those guys' shoes and make that more clear to them, you will see that engagement. You'll see your strategy come to life.
It's so true. I've learned that there are all sorts of ways to bring that data to employees. Years ago, I'm going to totally age myself now, we would hand out these little booklets on a quarterly basis. We would do a desk drop to every single employee in our company with all of the most current insights. And we would put the insights on the tickers that would run through the contact centers, and we put it on the intranet site. And I've always found that the more information you give to people, they just get hungrier, right? They want more and more and more because people like information in order to make decisions. There's also one of my favorite tools to really bring the customer experience strategy to life for employees is something that I started building back in the late 90s. And I did it on smaller and smaller scales until I built one at Cigna, and this one got a ton of press and just a ton of attention, where we built the first customer experience room. So it was a very immersive experience for all of our employees, where they physically walked through step by step what it was like to be a customer of ours. And it was one of those things where when you're standing in the middle of this room and you see all of the mess that you're a part of creating as an employee of a company, it really does bring that hunger to life immediately to help make it better. And I still, to this day, most people that I work with, that's what we start solving, right, is how can we actually make and build a customer experience room, because it really is such a powerful tool to really change behavior quickly. So, if you need a jump start, it's a great, very visceral tool, kind of fun, really engaging, and a little tough, to be honest. But it gives people a very clear idea of what's wrong and what you're trying to fix and what it should look like. So I love using that one when we're trying to bring things to life.
Absolutely. I think you can, riff from that and apply that digitally nowadays, both physically and digitally, and allow people to kind of try out being a customer in a simulated environment if your products don't lend themselves to it. Adobe did a really excellent job of that. I love their idea of immersing employees in workshops where they had them work out certain things using the website, the company's website, or whatever things that the company normally would give to customers. And having them to make sense of it, and it really created a lot of empathy. So I think that's the real value there, is that you're establishing empathy among your employees and executives for the realities that customers have.
Indeed, indeed. And look at us, half an hour gone again already.
I know.
And how do we do this every time?
Well, I know this is so much fun. We could go on for hours, but I think that our next topic may be customer-centric culture, because that builds on to what we're just saying. And, how do you make this all come to life in your company? And we can continue the conversation then. So thanks
awesome.
To all of our listeners. Any parting words, Ingrid?
No, thanks for being there and looking forward to the next conversation, Lynn.
You bet. Well, we would welcome all of our visitors to contact us through clearactioncx.com and chiefcustomer.com. We always love a conversation. Until next time, best wishes in optimizing your customer experience.